You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Dale Gentry.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Breakout Radio Church. This is a day to break out. You can do what God says you can do. You can go where God says you can go. You can have what God says you can have. You can do all things. Good to have you in church today here at Breakout Radio Church, here in our ministry center in Austin, Texas. Remember, we are a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' call to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. We are a house of prayer for all nations, and Gene and I are delighted to have you in church today. And we've taken most of the month off to get some rest and spend some quality and quantity time together. Been a great month, hasn't it, Gene?
It has been a great month of rest and time to let your voice rest, which was much needed.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful month, and we're thankful for those of you that prayed for us. And Gene and I just felt like we were to take some time off, let my voice rest, give us a rest, and wow, we feel re-energized and recharged. And so it's been a great time. We really appreciate Tammy Logan, Rhonda Kinzer preaching for us during our time off. Two great women preachers, and proud of our spiritual daughters. And so it's good to be in church today. It's a wonderful time.
We appreciate everyone that ministered while we were taking time off, and we're thankful for our breakout church members.
Yes, we are.
So thankful for all of you.
Very, very grateful for all of you, and it's going to be a great day here at Breakout Radio Church. My spiritual grandson Leland is going to lead us in some praise and worship. I have a special message today and on dreams, and it's going to be a wonderful day. We're going to pray right now before Leland comes for the service this morning, and just want every one of you to know that I've called every one of your names in prayer today, every one of the names of our church members representing, what, about 40 states and nations, and we're delighted. And so we're going to pray today. We believe in the power of prayer, don't we, Gene?
Yes, we do. Prayer really works.
It really does work. Want to pray, continue to pray for Anita Rogers today, one of our church members who's continuing to suffer and not able to eat or drink or talk. We're believing for her miracle. Want to pray for Roy Beard, who's a member of our ministry team. He's in severe pain today with back and knee injury. Want to pray for continue to pray for Matthew and Tammy Logan's grandsons who've come back home. It's a miracle. Back home in Alabama after being hit by a car going over 50 miles an hour. They've been in the hospital for several months. Now they're back home. Tammy and Matthew's with them, and they're back home in Alabama. We need to pray for the Nichols family, Ralph Nichols at the point of death, Pastor Bob Nichols' brother and his family. We want to pray for them. And want to pray for Daniel and his family in Pakistan. There's a lot of turmoil going on in Pakistan. Daniel's one of our church members. We also want to pray for our editor-in-chief. Aliona Perchuka is having some health challenges. Pray for her today, as well as our President Donald J. Trump. And pray for this service today. Father, Gene and I just set ourselves in agreement.
Yes.
The will of God's going to be done here in this service today. We pray for Aliona. We pray for Anita.
Yes.
We pray for the Matthew and Tammy's grandsons, Logan and Colton, as they continue to recover. We pray for that family. We pray for the Nichols family. Pray for our president, Donald J. Trump. And we pray the will of God be done today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, here's Lee to lead us in some praise and worship, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to minister today, so here we go.
Oh, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we worship You today. We honor You this morning here at Breakout Radio Church. You are the Lion and the Lamb, and we worship You. We honor You today. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we bless Your name and honor Your name. Hallelujah. You're a good God, awesome God, mighty God. We're so very, very thankful. We worship You. We honor You. There is no God like my God. No God like my God. We bless You today. Come and worship. Come magnify the Lord with me, church. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. Love You, Lord. I love You, Jesus. I worship You. You are the Lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. We bless Your name. We honor Your name and glorify Your name and magnify Your name today. You're such a good God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. May you be exalted. May you be high and lifted up here at Breakout Radio Church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I want to give you an opportunity to give today. And Breakout Radio Church, of course, is supported by you, our loyal church members. And I want to give you an opportunity to give. I love this passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know I've read it many times, but I love it. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And let each one of you give as you purpose in his heart to give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency." What? All sufficiency. I'm telling you, Gene and I have practiced this for our 57 years of marriage, that as we give our tithes and give our contributions above our tithes, then God is faithful to supply all of our need, and we have all sufficiency every month. He gives us daily bread, and he gives us monthly fruit, because life is about sowing and reaping. The Bible says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." So if we sow corn, we're going to reap corn. If we sow wheat, we're going to reap wheat. But if we sow money, we're going to reap money. And so God is all able to make us abound according to the amount that we give. If we give sparingly, then we'll reap sparingly. If we give bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. It's the law of the harvest. And so we know that he who sows, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness for all liberality. So I trust that you will give liberally today. And as you give of your tithes and contributions, you can go to bpnradio.com. There's a donate button there. bpnradio.com. Click on the donate button. Remember, you can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card, or you can make a check payable to Breakout Ministries. Breakout Ministries. And if you go to Breakout Prayer Network, you will find that all of that information is there on the bpnradio.com website, including the address. So when you click on the donate button, it will give you the information there. And you can make your checks payable to Breakout Ministries. That's Breakout Ministries. P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Remember, all of your donations are tax deductible, and we are very, very thankful and grateful for those of you that contribute on a regular basis here at Breakout Radio Church. We believe you're sowing good seed into good soil. So I want to give you just a moment to make out your check, or go to the donate button. Use your PayPal, credit card, debit card. Father, I just bless the people that are giving today. I pray that you will bless them abundantly, bountifully, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I pray that our members will be faithful to give today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people that are giving today. Bless them abundantly and bountifully. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'm going to preach today about dreams. And this has been in my heart now for several days, and just want to share some things that God has put in my heart. And but before I preach this morning, I'm going to have a young lady by the name of Meredith Chavis to come and sing a song that my son Rick Gentry wrote called Dreams Really Do Come True. So she's going to come and sing, and then I'm going to minister from the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Here's Meredith.
Today is a good day. Today is a great day. I can do what God said I can do. I can be who God said I can be. Today is a good day, today is your day. Dreams really do come true. Dreams really do come true. Just
giving me dreams.
Okay. Thank you, Meredith. 16-year-old Meredith Chavis there. Dreams really do come true. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse number 1. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan where his father had lived. Jacob's son Joseph was now 17 years old. I'm reading this morning from the Living Bible. Jacob's son Joseph was now 17 years old. His job, along with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, was to shepherd his father's flocks. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things that they were doing. Now, as it happened, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph was born to him in his old age. So, one day, Jacob gave him a special gift, a brightly colored coat. His brothers, of course, noticed their father's partiality and consequently hated Joseph. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing even deeper hatred. Listen to this, he proudly announced. We were out in the field binding sheaves, and my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves still gathered around it and even bowed before it. So you want to be our king, do you? His brothers derided, and they hated him, both for the dreams and for his cocky attitude. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. Listen to my latest dream, he boasted. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down before me. This time he told his father as well as his brothers, but his father rebuked him. What is this? He asked, shall I indeed and your mother and brothers come and bow before you? His brothers were fit to be tied concerning this affair, but his father gave it quite a bit of thought and wondered what it all meant. So, Joseph, you know, when you talk about a dreamer in the Bible, the first person that usually comes to mind is Joseph. Joseph was an incredible dreamer. And he started having these dreams as a teenager. And by the time of 17, he was having all kinds of dreams. Now, a dream is not only something you dream after you go to sleep, but a dream is something that God puts in your heart, a passion, something about your future, something that you are going to live out. It's your purpose in life. And so Joseph was that kind of young man. He was a dreamer. You know, Joseph was a dreamer, but God was about to take his dreams through a period of testing. He was about to test his heart, his character, and what he was all about. And so dreams really do come true if we're willing to dream and allow our dreams to be tested. You know, I grew up in, as I've said quite often, in a little town called Comanche, Oklahoma. And we never had much money. We lived in a remodeled army barrack that my dad had bought, remodeled on a lot he had bought on credit at 6th and Willow Street after we had moved to Comanche when I was only 5 years old. And my only sibling got married when she was 15. I was 5, so I mostly grew up by myself. And envying other boys whose dads had regular jobs, lived in a nice house on a nice street instead of a dirt street like Willow Street in Comanche, my mother was always home when I came home from school at noon when I walked home during my lunch hour. I remember my mother giving me a quarter each day for lunch, which would enable me to buy a hamburger or hot dog for 15 cents, an RC Cola for a nickel, a candy bar for a nickel. I grew up in a very legalistic home, which my dad was a holiness preacher, meaning we didn't play miniature golf, go to ball games, and we did not have a television until I was a junior in high school. And I remember having such fear that my friends would find out that I did not have a television. So it was a deep kept secret in my heart. When I had my 13th birthday, I was going to have a birthday party, but I planned it on the outside because I was ashamed of the house that we lived in. It was a clean house, but it was very poorly furnished. We didn't have much money. My dad chose to be a preacher at the nighttime and on the weekends, but he worked in the daytime, and he didn't have a lot of work most of the time, did not have much money. He painted houses and papered the inside of houses. Sometimes he would go days or weeks without sufficient work. So I lived in poverty conditions. My dad had not gotten hold of the prosperity message, But we never went hungry. We always had a shelter and always had food to eat. And so on my 13th birthday, I thought, well, I'm going to have a birthday party, but I won't have it on the inside of my house. I have it on the outside because I'm ashamed for my friends to come and be on the inside. So I planned my own birthday party, and everything would be on the outside. My mother prepared it for me and prepared food on the outside and all the games that we were going to have on the outside. But much to my misdays and dismay and disappointment, it began to rain about an hour before my party was to start. And about the time my party was to begin, it was raining heavily on the outside. I never forget my friend Jimmy Brown coming, and I said to Jimmy, he was the first one there, I said, go out and tell everybody when they drive up that the birthday party has been canceled. I didn't have a reason. I just told Jimmy, tell everyone that the birthday party has been canceled, because I didn't want anybody to come into the inside of my house. I was so ashamed. So my party night concluded, my 13th birthday party concluded with me and Jimmy Brown down at my sister's house, who lived a block away. She had a television. A wonderful thing happened to me later on that school term when my 8th grade English teacher, Mrs. Bicknell, spoke to me in front of the entire English class with these words that would literally change my life forever. And she said, Dale, you should be a radio announcer. I believe you're going to be a radio announcer. And while the other students looked my way, I silently said to myself, yes, I knew that I was going to be a public speaker. It was then, on that very day in the 8th grade, that I began to dream. I began to dream that one day I would be a radio announcer, a sportscaster, maybe even an actor, maybe even someone that spoke on a public platform. I began to lay back in the summertime and watch planes fly overhead and dream that one day I would fly on one of those planes to different places in the world. I just didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be a radio announcer. I wanted to be someone on stage. So Mrs. Bicknell had launched my dreams, but Mrs. Blackburn invited me into my dream world. My parents and I had moved to Walters, 20 miles from Comanche, my freshman year in high school. And during my high school years in Walters, Oklahoma, my English and speech teacher, Mrs. Blackburn, recognized my giftings and took a special interest in me, giving me the leading role in a one-act play that landed me the best actor in my district and also the best actor in the western region of Oklahoma. My confidence had risen, and I realized now that stage would be a part of my life, that I would be different than I anticipated. But the best thing that happened to me in Walters, Oklahoma, was I met Chloe Jean Denham, who I fell in love with the first time I saw her when I was 15 and she was 13, proclaiming to myself, I saw her in church on a Friday night, one day I'm going to marry that girl. I discovered that dreams really do come true. So I married my dream girl, and I had a dream, and I began to pursue it with the encouragement of Mrs. Blackburn and with the encouragement of my wife, Jean. Both of us began making sacrifices so that I could go to radio school, engineering school, while pursuing my dream of being a radio announcer, possibly owning my own radio station one day, or being general manager of a group of radio stations. I just knew that I was born to be behind a microphone and to be on stage. And that was my dream. And I pursued it. All of these efforts culminating in me landing a job at a CBS affiliate in Wichita Falls, Texas. Gene and I purchasing a new home and a new car, getting what I wanted. But after a while, I realized that I got what I wanted, but it was not what I wanted. Yes, my beautiful wife. Yes, my home. Yes, my car. Yes, my wonderful 2-year-old son. But something was missing. And one day on my way to work at the radio station at the CBS affiliate in Wichita Falls, Texas, I blurted out these words, God, I am so unfulfilled in life. What can you do for me? I didn't know why I was so unfulfilled. because I had so much materialism and so many things that I had aimed for, dreamed for. The dreams were coming true, but there was an emptiness. There was like a hole inside of me. And I said, God, what can you do for me? And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, son, give me the first hour of your day and I will change your life. Give me the first hour of your day and I'll change your life. I couldn't believe what I was hearing because I was already getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and going to work because I was an engineer at the radio station. But I promptly responded the next morning and got up and began to pray, giving God 1 hour, the first hour of my day. And so my dreams were being challenged. And so suddenly a new dream world had opened for me. I began to dream on a different level. I dreamed that one day I would travel to the nations of the world. I dreamed that one day I would do great exploits for God. And I would get to do all of these things. And I didn't realize that these dreams were before me, the dreams to preach around the world, the dreams to minister in Wembley Stadium, to lead prayer in Wembley Stadium, lead prayer at the White House, the home of the President of the United States, to be able to pray at the Vice Presidential podium. And all of these things, God began to give me dreams about those things, preaching the gospel. And it seemed like before that I began to dream this new level of dreams, that there was seemingly no opposition. But suddenly this new dream world began to not only open for me, but I began to find myself being challenged. I began to dream on a different level. I began to dream these dreams, but soon I was being contested by the powers of darkness, not realizing that my dreams were about to go through a refinement. And Satan had already developed a strategy to destroy those God dreams. I was to find later on in time that Satan had planted a root of bitterness in my life as a boy that was to eventually try to destroy all of my dreams. And this is what happened to Joseph. There were going to be challenges to that dream of one day being the vice president of Egypt in a foreign country. How could that ever happen? And being a leader, being the one who would bring salvation to an entire nation and other surrounding nations. But those dreams that Joseph had begin to be challenged. Here's what the Bible said. One day, Joseph's brothers took their father's flocks to Shechem to graze them. A few days later, Israel, Jacob, called for Joseph and told him, your brothers are over in Shechem grazing the flocks. Go and see how they are getting along and how it is with the flocks and bring me word. Very good, Joseph replied. So he traveled to Shechem from his home at Hebron Valley. A man noticed him wandering in the fields. Who are you looking for? He asked. For my brothers and their flocks, Joseph replied. Have you seen them? Yes, the man told him. They are no longer here. I heard your brothers say they were going to Dothan. So Joseph followed them to Dothan and found them there. But when they saw him coming, recognizing him in the distance, they decided to kill him. Here comes that master dreamer, they exclaimed. They call him a master dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and toss him into a well and tell Father what a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what will become of all of his dreams. But Reuben hoped to spare Joseph's life. Let's not kill him, he said. We'll shed no blood. Let's throw him alive into this well here. That way he'll die without our touching him. Reuben was planning to get him out later and return him to his father. So when Joseph got there, they pulled off his brightly colored robe, threw him into an empty well. There was no water in the well. Then they sat down for supper. Suddenly, they noticed a string of camels coming towards them in the distance, probably Ishmaelite traders who were taking gum, spices, and herbs from Gilead to Egypt. Look there, Judah said to the others. Here comes the Ishmaelites. Let's sell Joseph to them. Why kill him and have a guilty conscience? Let's not be responsible for his death, for after all, he is our brother. And his brothers agreed. So when the traders came by, his brother pulled Joseph out of the well, sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver, and they took him along to Egypt. Sometime later, Reuben, who was away when the traders came by, returned to get Joseph out of the well. When Joseph wasn't there, he ripped at his clothes in anguish and frustration. But what they did was they took Joseph's coat of many colors, took it back to his father, and told him that Joseph had been killed by wild animals. This is, church, this is an unbelievable story. These were not just any brothers. These were his blood brothers. These 10 men who would later represent the 12 tribes of Israel, sons of Joseph, who was later named Israel, those that were about to make history in the Bible, became so angry and jealous and resentful of their brother Joseph that they were ready to murder him. And so how did it all start? It all started with jealousy because their father loved Joseph more than he loved them. And he gave him a special coat of many colors. Jealousy is a terrible thing. The Bible says that jealousy is more cruel than the grave. So it all started with jealousy, envy, and strife. And then a root of bitterness began to grow, accompanied by a spirit of pride, giving way to a spirit of offense, having an offense is a terrible, terrible thing. And so these brothers, they became offended. They became offended at their brother because he was being treated more justly than they were. And so they became very offended. They developed a spirit of offense. And Webster says that an offense is a resentment brought about by a perceived insult or disregard for oneself. They got offended. Their rights got violated. And offense is a terrible thing. And the dreams of Joseph were challenged by the brothers who were offended at their brothers. And so Joseph's dreams were about to be tested because of the offenses of his brother. And you got to realize that it started with jealousy, then envy, then strife. And then they had great pride. And then they were offended. They became very, very bitter. The root of bitterness began to grow, accompanied by a spirit of pride, giving way to a spirit of offense. You know what? Growing up, I saw how my dad was not given the honor due to him. He was not recognized like he should be. I remember when I was in the seventh grade, my dad invited a pastor to come. Another pastor from a major city to come and preach a tent meeting. Instead of my dad leading the services as the pastor should, the evangelist requested a man in the church who was a former friend of his to lead the services while my dad sat on the front row, not being given recognition. I resented that. I was offended. I took up my dad's offense. I vowed in my heart that I would be recognized when I grew up. So that offense or resentment became a root of bitterness, leading to a spirit of competition. I could not stand to lose. I had to win. I had to be recognized. I soon began to lose interest in those things which I could not win. It wasn't fun anymore. My offenses were being hidden behind the mask of competition, of pride, of winning. I soon became like Joseph's brothers, envious of others who had more than I, or better than me. Mediocrity began to have no place in my life. In fact, I couldn't win at something or be recognized, and I wouldn't participate. I lost interest in nearly every subject in high school other than speech or acting. While I was making straight A's or maybe A pluses in those subjects, I was failing just about, almost failing in all the other subjects because I was not the best in those subjects. I had to be the best. My pride grew, and I found myself being offended quite often or taking up someone else's offense. I began to live a life of offense and not even realizing what was happening to me. But after I was called to preach and spent time in prayer daily, I felt I'd overcome that root of bitterness, that spirit of pride, being offended, taking up offenses. But each of us today must understand that wherever there was a stronghold in our lives, Satan comes to make a re-entry into that very place. He lurks at the door, ready to pounce into any opening that we might give him. So I didn't realize that root of bitterness that began as a boy had now grown into a full-blown tree of pride, giving way to offenses that seemed to be hidden away somewhere until Gene and I took a gigantic step of faith in 1985, to leave the church we had been pastoring for over 8 years in Oklahoma City to be a part of one of the fastest growing churches in America, Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas, which was a suburb of Dallas. And so a gate to the world that would lead us to ministering in nations of the world, serving as a prayer and prophetic voice to leading churches in America and other nations of the world, leading prayer at the White House, Wembley Stadium, having incredible dreams fulfilled that we never had anticipated, dreams bigger than we'd ever dreamed, those dreams were about to be pruned. Those dreams were about to be tested. Our dreams almost didn't come true because of the spirit of offense. I'd never discerned that I was so easily offended and quick to take up other people's offenses until we moved to Rockwall, Texas in 1985. And we went there at the invitation of a longtime friend of mine who was the pastor of that growing church. It was there in Rockwall that my root of bitterness was exposed, that my pride was exposed, that was my testing ground. And like Joseph, my dreams were about to be tested. If my dreams were going to come true, then those dreams had to be refined. They had to go through the fire. God was about to reveal the true condition of my heart. Moving to Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas was nothing like I'd anticipated. I thought I was going to be recognized. Hundreds of people attended my church and called me pastor in Oklahoma City. But when I got there, I realized that I was not being recognized. I was not being honored. I began to be offended. Not once, but many times. The spirit of offense grew as Gene and I went through the fire, trying to accept that invitation to return, trying to accept an invitation to return back to Oklahoma City. We wept and cried. We felt like we were out of place. We didn't realize that our dreams were being tested. Our dreams were going through the fire. And in order to get there, we had to go through a refining process. And our dreams were almost aborted. Gene and I almost turned around and moved back to Oklahoma City. I soon discovered that the pastor, who had been my close friend for 9 years, hardly spoke to me because he was so busy growing that church. He didn't assign me to preach from time to time or sit on the platform with him as most all the leaders did of any importance. I had to sit back in the congregation. He assigned me to visiting hospitals across the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which that's what I enjoyed least in the ministry, was counseling and visiting hospitals. But he not only assigned me to do that, but he assigned me to be an usher. I was humiliated standing at the door after being a senior pastor for so long, a lead pastor. I was standing at the door greeting people as they come in, standing alongside of men that had never been in the five-fold ministry, that had never been a lead pastor. I laugh now about hoping that no members of my church in Oklahoma City would come and visit that well-known church and see me standing at the door greeting, serving as a greeter instead of sitting on the platform as a leader. I was offended that I was not being recognized. I was not being honored. I opened myself up to offenses because I had a root of pride and a root of bitterness. God was revealing the true condition of my heart. My dreams were being tested. My dreams were going through the fire, being refined. I knew I had to get victory over the desire to be recognized. That is a terrible thing. That is a, when people have to be recognized, that is a spirit of pride. You know, Lucifer, he fell from heaven because of his spirit of pride. The Bible says in Isaiah 14, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be recognized." But the word is, you are going to be brought down. You are going to go down. And because Lucifer said, I'm gonna climb to heaven. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I am going to be recognized. I am going to have a platform. But the Bible said there was war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12, and Lucifer, who later was named Satan, was cast out of heaven on the earth to go about devouring whom he may. And so that spirit of pride was a terrible thing. The spirit of pride wants to be recognized, wants to be honored. And that spirit of pride is a terrible thing. And it is what brought Saul down, King Saul. He wanted to be recognized. He said to David, I want to be recognized. It was a terrible thing. And so that was that spirit of pride caused me to be jealous, caused me to be offended. And offense is what keeps people from fulfilling their dreams. Dreams really do come true. But if you live a life of offense, if you're always being offended, if you carry that baggage of being offended, you will never be able to fulfill your dreams. So I knew that I was going through the fire, and I didn't realize what was happening. The Holy Spirit began to reveal to me that the spirit of rootedness, the spirit of bitterness had taken its root because I had taken up my dad's offense. You got to realize that when we get offended, God gives us grace. When we take up someone else's offense, there is no grace. So in Rockwall, I got offended because I was not being recognized. In fact, I carried it to the extreme. I was so angry at not being recognized and not being honored for being the pastor's close friend, one of his supposedly best friends, and not honored for the 18 years of being a pastor. Not being honored that I was not being invited to sit on the platform, on the stage, where all the other leaders were sitting. So one day, one Sunday morning, I just made my way up to the platform and sat down uninvited on the platform while the other leaders looked at me in dismay. And I was there on the platform. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, what are you doing up here? What are you doing up here on this platform? And so I was ashamed. And yet I realized that I had the spirit of pride. God was testing my pride. He was taking me through this time of testing. And I thought, well, I'm going to get some revenge. So what happens to a person that gets offended, I decided I was going to get some revenge. And so when they did not honor me or recognize me when my mother passed away and went to heaven, I got in front of the leadership during a staff meeting, and I began to tell them how unhappy I was that they did not even take time to uh, to contact me after my mother had died. And so I was getting revenge. So you got to realize that after many years of pastoring, I was being tested. And that is what happens to your dreams. That's what happened to Joseph. Joseph, he was being tested. Instead of him being promoted to be the leader of a nation, he was put in a pit, and then he was sold into slavery. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers, who hated him. I mean, how could these guys do such a thing? They first became jealous, and then they became offended, and then they became offended because they were not being honored like their brother was being honored. A spirit of pride came upon them. And so they began to say, we're going to take revenge. We're going to sell him. We're going to throw him into a pit, and then we're going to sell him into slavery. And so they did. Joseph was taken to Egypt as a 17-year-old teenager, and for 10 years he served the captain of the guard in a nation, in a land in Egypt that he did not understand their language or their culture. He was in a foreign country, but he was faithful to serve, and for 10 years he served there. And then you know the rest of the story. Potiphar's wife lied on him, said that he tried to rape her, and Potiphar sent him to prison. It was not just a prison, any old prison. It was a dungeon. And for 2 years, he was in the dungeon. But he was faithful. He refused to be offended. He refused to be bitter. And you have to refuse bitterness. You have to refuse being offended when you are not recognized. And so Joseph, he refused to be allowed to offense to take root in his life. Resentment brought about by perceived insult or disregard for oneself. And so he decided, I am going not to be offended. And because of his willingness not to be offended, he got promoted. And he got promoted to the king's palace because God honored him for not being offended. He became the ruler. He became the ruler only next to Pharaoh in the whole land of Egypt. And what was the end result? What was the end of result? Did Joseph take revenge? He could have, because his brothers finally had to come to Egypt to get some food. But what was Joseph's response to his brothers? He could have had revenge. But he did not take revenge. What was the final episode of this long chapter? The Bible said when Jacob learned that there was food in Egypt, listen to these words, and I'm going to pray for you. When he learned that there was food in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you sit around here and look at one another? I've heard that there's food in Egypt. Go down there and buy some food that we can survive and not starve. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to Egypt to get food. And the Bible said that when they came to buy food, Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. So Joseph, remembering the dreams he had dreamed of them, tested them. And finally, what happened? He finally revealed himself and gave them food, and they had fallen down on their faces, just like Joseph had prophesied, and they fell down on their faces and they worshiped him. But Joseph revealed himself and forgave them and invited them to the best part of the land. And so the dream that Joseph had finally came true. But after he had been tested, that he refused to be bitter, he refused to be bitter, he refused to be jealous, and he refused to get revenge. So what did he do? He He threw a banquet. He threw a party. He brought the whole family into Egypt. And he instead of taking revenge, he honored them. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessing. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. So we must not have that spirit of pride. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We are going to determine that we will not be offended, that we are going to live a life where we do not allow ourselves to be offended and we do not take up offenses. What does the Bible say about it all? What does the Bible say about it all? The Bible says in Psalms 119 and 165 in the King James Version, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Most people leave churches because they get offended. And many people lose their relationships because they are offended. And other people many times take up their offense. So I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray that you will not allow yourself to be offended. All offenses will come. Jesus said offenses will come, and woe to the one that does the offending. You don't have to go to a person and say, well, you offended me. No, you just say, I forgive you. You don't even have to say it to their face. Just say, I forgive that person. And you must determine in your heart that you're going to walk in love and forgiveness. You're going to walk in love and forgiveness, because I know that dreams really do come true. But I'm here to tell you, church, that those dreams can be aborted if you allow yourself to walk in that realm of and dimension of unforgiveness, being offended all the time. Many people, they live a life of being offended, and they tell other people about their offenses. You can't believe what they did to me, and here's what they did to me. And we cannot live in that arena, that aura. And so many people live in that. They're offended when the pastor says something they don't like. They're offended when the pastor does not ask them to preach or has not called them lately or does not ask them to sing. And they try to cover it up by saying, well, you know, I'm not being fed in that church anymore, or, you know, I don't have time to call that person anymore. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for people that are being offended today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you come and minister to them. And Lord, I pray that they will lay aside their bitterness, their jealousy, their anger, their revenge. And they will walk in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's been a great day at Breakout Radio Church, hasn't it, Jean?
It has been a great day, and I believe that dreams really do come true.
Dreams really do come true.
Yes, they do.
Satan wants to stop us from dreaming, but dreams do come true. And we're living a life of dreams, haven't we?
Yes.
We are right now.
Yes,
being able to preach across America and around the world. I love you, Jean.
I love you.
And we love you, Radio Church, Breakout Radio Church.
Yes, we do. And you have a blessed day, and we love you so very much.
Yes, we do. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.